Welcome to Independent Americans. Welcome to a very special spring break, episode 108. I'm your host, Paul Rykoff. Now, more than any other time, now is still a time to stay vigilant.
I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script, and I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom. We have so much to look forward to, so much promise and potential of where we are, and so much reason for hope. But right now, I'm scared. So I'm speaking today not necessarily as your CDC director, and not only as your CDC director, but as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, to ask you to just please hold on a little while longer. I so badly want to be done. I know you all so badly want to be done. We are just almost there, but not quite yet. And so I'm asking you to just hold on a little longer, to get vaccinated when you can, so that all of those people that we all love will still be here when this pandemic ends.
That's CDC Director Dr. Rachel Walensky with an emotional plea to the public about not letting up, about finishing the fight, about not letting your guard down before the job is done, about staying vigilant just a little bit longer, and about doing it for others, the ones we love. And 1 year after the pandemic started is a good time to reflect on those we love. It's spring break this week for millions of kids across America. School's out. Passover, Easter, and March Madness are also here. And millions nationwide are spending extra time with family. And so are we. In this episode, we're thrilled to introduce you to two new members of our Righteous Media family, the captivating hosts of our newest Righteous Media production, Everybody and Their Mother Has a Podcast. That's what it's called. Rick Sorkin and Sharon Koppelman are the co-hosts, and they're just plain wonderful. And so is their new show. Doesn't it seem like everybody and their mother has a podcast? Oh, oh, so I started a podcast with my mom. We wanted a theme song so you could sing along. The show, it starts now. Rick and his mom, Sharon, are quarantining together in a secret desert location. And it's been very interesting and fun and inspiring. And this new, charming, weekly podcast from Righteous Media will be like a warm cup of cocoa with your mom or your best friend. Everybody and Their Mother Has a Podcast will take you inside the house with Rick and Sharon and two other humans and their cat, and along for some very special adventures, from Rick's music making to Sharon's painting to their shared passion for supporting and understanding the developmental disabilities of Rick's brother, to breaking down current events, to cannabis, to cooking. This show will bring smiles and warmth to your ears and your heart every time you download it. Rick Sorkin's been a friend of mine for many years now. My wife introduced us back some time ago, and I've loved him ever since. He's a really unique dude. He's a Santa Monica-based music producer, multi-instrumentalist, a creative strategist, a plant-based chef, and now a podcast host. He's also 6'5", ambidextrous, and followed on Twitter by Barack Obama. He was born and raised in Philadelphia. He has a business degree and a music degree from the George Washington University. He spent time in advertising on Madison Avenue and in the center of Hollywood, where he created and contributed to many of the now common global digital advertising and talent practices. He executive produced a star-studded Get Out the Vote event called Telethon for America. He's performed at the world-famous Hollywood Improv, and he's been in about a million bands you've never heard of. He also has a forthcoming plant-based cookbook. And even more interesting than Rick is his co-host and his amazing mom, Sharon Koppelman. Sharon's an artist and a career educator. Her guiding philosophy is that everybody benefits personally by contributing to their household and their community. and therefore should be supported to do so regardless of ability level. She believes in everyone. Her positivity and insights are contagious. She's a past board chair of Spin Inc., a nonprofit that provides a life of possibilities and assistance to thousands. She taught in the Philadelphia public school system and was an assistant professor at Drexel University, where she taught in the education program. She has a BS in education from Temple and an MS in education from Graz University. And she's even done stand-up comedy. Now, her experience has been limited to a single performance in Philly at the now legendary Cabaret L'Etage, but now she has a podcast with her son, and she's going to tell you about it. And so is he. You're going to love these two. Things are improving quickly in much of America, but we're not done with the pandemic yet. The emotional trial of the former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who's been charged in the death of George Floyd, is now underway. Disgusting attacks on Asian Americans continue, and COVID cases and hospitalizations are rising. But the vaccine is rolling out fast, cannabis was legalized in New York, and Michael Strahan closed a gap in his teeth. These are some weird times. And Rick and Sharon are going to join us to break it all down. This episode's a lighthearted break from the intensity of the last year, and an introduction to two new Righteous Media voices that will help guide us all through whatever comes next. The first episode drops next Wednesday, April 7th, but you're going to get a sneak preview first. And after, you can subscribe right now via Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get your pods. Rick and Sharon are another example of the hope we need to elevate and celebrate in this country right now. They're the best kind of independent Americans, a mother and a son, using their talents, creativity, experience, and ingenuity to help others. And like all our guests, they show the power of each of us to make a difference, especially if we stay vigilant. Because vigilance is still the price of democracy, and our vigilance is paying off. All that mask wearing, all that hand washing, all that vaccine taking, it's working. Despite the stupid continuing to spread in governor's mansions and in many parts of the country, our plan is working. And our VC Day, our victory over the coronavirus day, may be coming on July 4th, maybe sooner. Our Independence Day is coming, but we're not there just yet. We can get there if we just stay vigilant a little bit longer, because eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. And our freedom is coming, and more freedom is coming. But vigilance is required. And Sharon and Rick are an example of that. And they will be that example for months and maybe years to come. Spring break, Passover, Easter, even March Madness are all a time for family, however you define it. And whether you can spend it with your family in person or not, whether you have a big family or none at all, this is a time we can appreciate the importance of the connections that make life worth living and the importance of leaders. Not just the leaders who hold elected office or host TV shows or write best-selling books, but the leaders among us, the parents, the children, the families, the friends. Leaders who can rise above when both political parties are failing us. Leaders who can talk sense, share insight, give wisdom, and make us smile. Leaders who embody and spread the five I's: independence, integrity, information, inspiration, and impact. And more of these leaders are independent Americans, just like us. Leaders who understand hope is the oxygen of democracy. And Rick and Sharon are here to talk about their new show and how you can join the family and get a weekly dose of that hope and share it with others. That's the oxygen of our democracy. It's the warm cocoa in our collective cups. Independent Americans are growing all across America. And more these independent Americans are leading our recovery. They're rising to meet the moment, and they're taking care of each other. And our families may be the most important, the ones closest to us. And if you don't have a family, you do now. Families are another brand of independent Americans that can guide America to a better future. They're not partisans. They're not professional politicians. They're not blowhard pundits. They're not summer soldiers. They're not sunshine patriots. They're true patriots. The ones looking out for each other. The ones helping each other. The ones setting the example. They're another group of independent Americans who are fighting the most important fights, sometimes the hardest fights. They're the winter soldiers, the real leaders, and the most important independent Americans of all. Those are our new patriots, and they're the future for our nation. And they, more than ever, must stay vigilant. They've got to hang in there and help us finish the job if we just stay vigilant. Welcome to the final hard stretch of the pandemic. Welcome to spring break, Passover, Easter, March Madness, legalization of cannabis, and the opening of music venues, and so much more. Welcome to a sneak preview of the new Righteous Media Power podcast, Everybody and Their Mother Has a Podcast. And welcome to an introduction to the newest members of the Independent Americans and Righteous Media Network. Welcome to the family. Welcome to Independent Americans, episode 108. Doesn't it seem?
Ladies and gentlemen, independent Americans around the country and around the globe, happy Passover, happy Easter, happy March Madness, happy legalization of cannabis in New York, and happy spring break. We have a refreshing breeze and dose of some really fun and interesting content, conversation, energy, and I am very happy to bring to our spring break special episode, the great and powerful Rick Sorkin and Sharon Koppelman, hosts of the exciting podcast, Everybody and Their Mother Has a Podcast, powered by Righteous Media, coming next week, April 7th. Hi, guys. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Paul.
Thanks, man.
Happy spring.
Happy spring. Happy everything. There's a lot going on, lots to get into. I'm very excited to introduce you all to the Independent Americans audience and to the Righteous Media world. We're going to talk about your new show. We're going to talk about what y'all have been up to. We're going to talk maybe about a couple things in the news. But I want to start off by welcoming you and also asking you a question I ask of all of our guests. How are you and where are you?
I'm fine. We're fine. We're so far so good. We are in California, in a spot where it's quite warm, hiding out.
Laying low.
Well, laying low in the desert. so we're doing our best. And we've been podded, the four of us, since March of
2011.
So the four of you are who, and maybe potted is a perfect term. I am newly introduced to this. Share, please, who are the four of you and what does potted mean? Because I think it's really kind of a foundational element of at least this phase of your show.
Well, he's my son.
That's my mom. And we're here with your husband, my stepfather, and my girlfriend, and Zephyr the cat. And the four of us, five of us, depending on how you count, are laying low in the desert. And we got out of the Los Angeles area many months ago, and podding in the sense that these are the people that we've seen for months. And we're safe and sound in a clandestine, very, very low-key place. And so it's fun to pretend. It's fun not to tell people exactly where we are, but also like no one kind of knows where we are, which is also kind of fun.
It's advantageous. I have been now broadcasting from an undisclosed location for a full year.
Wow.
Which is both a matter of mental health and operational security.
Right.
we're going to pull out so many things about your show that I think people are really going to enjoy. But as we go into this, you know, this, it's this fragile time in America where it feels like we're making progress on the pandemic, but we got this huge warning from the CDC director about don't let up. And I want to ask you all, you know, you, part of why this, I think this show is going to be fascinating. You all have been like doing this hardcore, right? Relative to most, I think when you say potted, you've been very vigilant. You've been very careful. Can you share a little bit more about what that's like? Because, you know, potting with your mom and your girlfriend and your stepdad and the cat might be a little unusual. It's definitely going to be interesting.
I appreciate that. And just to go back one question, I'm well. Thank you for asking. No,
thank you, Rick.
You know, we did what we felt was the safest, soundest, most reasonable, cautious thing based on all the information we had in front of us and also being fully aware of the types of people that we're surrounded by every day, all day. So it was kind of like, let's do what I had the initial idea in last summer that said, I think it'd be a good idea not to be in a major city from around, oh, I don't know, middle of October of 2020 to say, I don't know, end of January 2021. And we made it poof, manifested it. And then we made appropriate moves. And it wasn't until weeks and months into it, and especially now that we're in the springtime, that the level of guard is probably in terms of calibration higher than most people that we know. We're not, you know, Howard Hughes-ing over here. You can see our fingernails are normal length. I've become a master salon person. I've given everyone in this house haircuts multiple times. We've learned incredible skills. But yes, we have essentially, each of us have only seen like a pharmacist or a doctor in the situation that is necessary. I've not been inside of a place for, my girlfriend and I celebrated a full year of sort of self-quarantine laying low on March 8th. So we were a little early in the process. So we're talking, you know, this isn't like Clive and Bundy land, but we are not going out. We are making food. We are, there's puzzles and internet and masterclass.
Some folks, everybody's pandemicking differently, right?
Sure.
But when was the last time either or both of you were inside of a restaurant?
That would have been on the like 4th or 5th of March, 2020. We were outside at a spot in Santa Monica. And the last time I was inside a restaurant was the end of February, 2020.
It's funny now that you ask, I remember the restaurant and I remember who was there.
Yeah.
And it was March of 2020. Yeah. And someone dear and near to my husband and me came in from Philadelphia and came in and he went to give me a hug and I backed up and he said, I'm giving you a hug. And he gave me a hug and I was like, yeah, I'm okay. I think I'm okay. It was crazy.
It's fascinating to look back on that now, right? I mean, I remember those last lunches, those last meetings, the last shows we did. I think Chris Russell, the Navy SEAL strategist, was the last guy I interviewed in person. And I remember saying, this might be the last one for a while. And so there was such an interesting and even awkward time where some folks were saying, screw it, I'm still doing handshakes. And others are like, I'm going to the mountains, right? And now we reflect on. But I think all of this is part of why your show is going to be so fascinating. There's so many different threads we want to pull out of this, but I also want to give folks a little bit more of a chance to get to know you. So it still is Independent Americans. And I want to ask, I've never interviewed a couple before, two people at the same time. So this is all a great independent media content experiment. But I want to ask both of you, when you were growing up, what was your first car?
Oh, okay. So my first car was a Plymouth Valiant.
Wow. What year and what color, Sharon?
I don't know what year it was. I think it might have been red. And I was a 20-year-old newlywed at the time. And we bought it from my brother's friend for $200.
Wow.
And then about 6 months later, the car stopped running and we took it to the shop and they said that, when'd you change the oil last? And I said, what? Who knew from oil? I was hitchhiking to Temple University. I didn't know from oil. Wow. Oh, my brother's going to hear this and he's going to be so embarrassed. And I didn't know what to do. So we kept driving the car. And when it stopped another 6 months later and we had somebody tow it away, I said, I don't understand why it started working again. And they said, we looked under the hood. It's so gunky under there. We think it's sealed itself.
Oh wow. Can I ask you, Sharon, what color, how would you describe the red? Was it a temple red, a darker red, or was it a brighter red? More like the psychedelic shirt that your son is wearing to your right.
This red.
You know, that was 1973. I'm not sure. I want to say a dark red, but my brother did send me a picture recently. Because, you know, I'm not sure. So you're going to,
everybody
have one.
We're going to have we have a website for this show. So there'll be places for extra content. Cool. You can find out more about Sharon and maybe see the picture of this Valiant, and other things. And for folks who are listening and want to see video, this will be up on, independentamericans.us on the Righteous Media YouTube channel. It'll probably be up on the Everybody and Their Mother has a podcast website as well. But, and you will be able to see that Sharon is wearing a black shirt, like very New York black, professional, casual, it does everything, right? And then Rick, in contrast, has a psychedelic reddish sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Which is part of why this contrast is going to be fun. So, Rick, over to you, sir. What was your first car?
I have two answers, and I apologize for giving you two answers. It's too late. You already finished your
Mine's
answer.
Mine's really short.
I learned to drive on a car that I didn't own, but I want to mention it. I learned to drive on a 16-foot Ford Econoline conversion van. That was popped up
extended,
had a lift on it. My brother, David, who's in a wheelchair, which is a topic that comes up in our show quite a bit. And the way that, you know, his being brother of David and David and the family has sort of colored our world is a theme that people can expect to hear lots of anecdotes and interesting things about. So I learned to drive on a massive vehicle. And at 16, went for my driver's test, and parallel parking was the last step. And I took the test in a Ford Tempo.
Wow.
And I did the parallel parking in one move. And the guy said, how long have you been driving? And I said, well, I got my permit 6 months ago and I went to school. And he says, listen, I'm going to pass you. Just tell me how long you've been driving. And I go, no, I just got my permit. He goes, there's no way that you just started parallel parking. I said, oh, I learned to parallel park on a Ford Econoline conversion van. And he laughed as he signed the thing. And then my first car though was in the late 90s, and it was a white 1994 Ford Bronco.
Ooh, like OJ.
Al Cowings, technically.
Ah. Wow.
It wasn't the V car, but the same make, same model. And
same
because
year? Is that the same year?
It was the same year. And because it was only, I don't know, 3 or 4 years after, or 5 years or 6 years after the OJ crimes, they couldn't get rid of it. I think I got it for $8,500 off the lot.
And what color, Rick, was the van that you learned on?
Dark blue.
Ooh, that's not bad for vans. Blue. Vans are often white or some other terrible color. So
I'm
dark
just saying,
blue is not bad.
I was 16 years old and I had a conversion van, so it was pretty cool.
So you had probably two of the scariest first cars. Anyway, you had a creepy conversion van, and you had OJ's car. Yes. So, okay, see, this is why this podcast is going to be so much fun for everybody.
One time, I drove to a friend's place. You know, we were going there for dinner in the van, and when they came outside to say hello, the guy said, "Oh, you brought the living room."
This thing was huge.
So I have a really quick. I learned at 16, my brother taught me how to drive a stick shift on a 1969 metallic brown saddle interior GTO.
Wow.
Ooh.
Three speed. Oh.
See, this is great. We're growing on a wide, it's a cornucopia of vehicular options here. Okay. Well, speaking of options, I'm going to ask you both a question I also ask of all of our guests. What is your drink of choice? Rick, maybe you can start this time and share What is your beverage? Usually we say adult beverage, but it's expanded beyond that here on Independent American. So what's your beverage of choice?
The answer would have been different before the pandemic. I have it under control, but I've been doing a lot more drinking in the last year. So I have a whole, and I've also bartended. So I've got a couple answers, but the short one is right now I've been into this drink that I believe it's called the Godfather, and it's bourbon or rye and a little bit of amaretto.
Ooh.
And it's nice.
That's it? Is there ice on it or anything else?
There's a little bit of ice. Yeah, like ideally like one or two big rocks, like a good pour of whiskey or bourbon or rye. And then I put like a sort of like 1 to 4, like a little bit of amaretto just for a sweet, especially after dinner, just a little PM John.
I love that. The Godfather. Okay. And Sharon, what is your beverage of choice, please?
I thought you might ask this question because I know how the show goes. It's not really exciting, but just some nice white wine or a Riesling, but never Chardonnay.
Never Chardonnay.
That's very interesting. I too prefer a Riesling, a sweeter wine. My wife always says she likes a buttery Chardonnay is the way she always says it.
And that's her least favorite, my mom's.
That tastes like olive oil to me. It's gross. Yeah.
She would throw it across the room and smash her ass.
So let me ask you all, the show is called Everybody and Their Mother Has a Podcast. We've been working together on this for some time. It's exciting for you, for us, I think for America and for Righteous Media. This marks, you know, our second new title launching awesome. You guys and what we hope will be the second of many more to come. You know, either of you, I'm going to be really careful and not suggest that one of you answers because that's part of the fun here is like throwing a jump ball between a mother and son and seeing how that lands. But why did you want to do this podcast and what do you want folks to take away from it?
I'll start and you can feel free to of course interrupt me.
I wouldn't interrupt you, but you should start because you really have the answer.
I appreciate that. It started as I just find you fascinating. And I think that your particular experiences, not just as my mom, but as a special needs educator, as an artist, as a person who got married at 20 in the late 60s, early 70s, there's a bunch of pieces just objectively as I can be that I find fascinating. And there were some specific stories around my brother that I was interested in knowing more detail on because I'm 2 years younger than David. He's 2 years older. And so some of the developmental formative years that I have early memories from, I was curious what sort of your take on those things were. And as an experiment, asked if we started speaking about it. And it was just, I've produced some things before. I've made some things before. I was like, this is like really, I guess, again, not objectively, but this is objectively interesting. And so I asked if we could record it. And we started doing that very casually with no real, you know, time limits or syllabus, so to speak. We sort of just jammed out and realized we had a show. And so we started to serialize it. And then you saw what we were doing and we're extremely excited and grateful. And like the idea that it's like, hey, that you agreeing that it's interesting was exciting enough on its own. And so the idea is just to expand on those stories and meet some new people who maybe don't know them and tell some ones that have not been told and see where it goes. But the impetus was just our conversations are, I don't know. People seem to like them.
I think it's so sincere and it's heartwarming and it's enlightening. And I think it's going to be just what folks need in times like this, because even though things are getting better in many parts of the country, we're probably still in for a rocky time and we'll have to process much of that together. And you all have, you know, the fortune and the challenge of being together as a mother and son. Sharon, what do you want folks to take away from this? When they listen to this show and they are introduced to you and Rick, what do you hope that it'll leave them with?
When we started doing this, for me, was the fun of doing it, the fun of sharing our space. We tend to understand each other. And when we don't, that's good too, because that's, you know, that brings an interest and growth. But it's also, one of my philosophies is that everybody should contribute to their household and to their community, regardless of their level of ability. So when David was little, his job was to empty the silverware from the dishwasher. And then Rick would come in and say, he's spinning all over it. You had to rewatch all of it. And I'd say, that's not the point. The point is that he's doing some work. Everybody has to work. Everybody should work. And I went on from there and found that I had some ideas that could help people. And that's my way of giving back to the community. And when things get quiet and I'm not involved in something and helping somebody, things get stale. I think it's much better to be involved. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we might have an audience who can garner something from our experiences, we have some guests lined up who are people who have a relative or who have, I say now, other needs. Maybe we're still allowed to say special needs. I'm not sure the vernacular changes all the time. But it's really about being connected and giving back.
I think Sharon, it's such an important and powerful reminder right now for all of us as interconnected citizens more than ever before. And everything that we do at Righteous is built around, we talk about the five I's, right? Independence, integrity, information, inspiration, and impact. And when we first started talking about this show, I saw all of those threads. And also I saw, you know, as a parent, as a child, as a citizen, I learned so much from you, especially Rick. I learned a lot from you too. But your mom is really such a person full of wisdom and experience, and I just feel better every time I hear the two of you. And I hope that other folks feel that way as well. There's also, I think, the best theme song I've heard in forever that I think I'm going to play. I think I played in the intro. I'm going to play in the outro. I'm going to do a more extensive bio before we get to this interview. But let me ask you, we're going to explore a lot of things on your show. It's going to drop on Wednesdays for now. Chris made a shortcut, at least for now, called everybodypod.us. So folks listening can go there or go to the Apple podcast store, anywhere you get podcasts, and subscribe as soon as you get done listening to me. But we're also going to cover, you know, some current events on this show. One of the big issues that you all, I think, explore at times, or I've explored in this show for sure, is cannabis. Cannabis is legal in New York. I was having a conversation with my in-laws in the driveway last week, and we were doing a toast, and I said, and to legalize cannabis in New York. And my mother-in-law looked at me and said, just what we need, more high people in this state, right? So there's going to be...
So she agrees with you.
So, well, she was being sarcastic, right? But I think that there are many intergenerational conversations happening right now that I hope you all can explore.
Yep.
So let's just use that as an example. Quick reaction, and maybe, Sharon, I'm always going to give you the first shot because you have the experience. Did you think in your lifetime you would see legalized cannabis or marijuana in America? And what do you think about this moment?
I did, because as a kid in the 60s, I had heard that the major cigarette companies had already registered names for when cannabis became legal. So I grew up presuming that it would. I had concerns about it. The answer is way too long. It's based on some experience in other countries, not personal experience, historical experience. But I accept it, and I hear from friends and from people all over that it's very helpful to people who have medical needs. And as far as recreationally, people obviously have been participating, and a lot of our states have legalized it. So, and I actually haven't heard any reports about any of the harrowing things that we were warned of when we were kids. So, I'm just neutral on it. It is what it is. And I think it's likely, I don't want it to be trite, but as far as comparing it to alcohol, it's possible that, it's a much smoother transition than alcohol. I think about, going to a restaurant and people drinking and then driving home. So
thank you, Sharon. Rick, over to you, sir. What do you think?
I will also try to be concise, and we'll likely devote a whole show of ours to this topic. I did hope and think it would occur in my lifetime. I always understood the political and mis- and disinformation, reasons that it wasn't legal, the reasons that it was a Schedule One drug, even down to the fact that the word marijuana has racist roots. It's cannabis, right? They were trying to otherize Mexicans during the time that cannabis became a thing. I've never seen someone smoke a joint and get into a bar fight, ever. And I believe I read yesterday, and I believe the number is opioid deaths increased by 50% last year. 50%. And then I saw when Colorado legalized it recreationally, what it did for their state budget. So I knew it was only a matter of time until other states didn't care about anything other than that thing that they care about. So I'm very excited. I also, there's elements of legal cannabis that are like a Willy Wonka fever dream to me. I mean, I had these visions as a teenager, a kid in college. We used to risk our lives for a $20 dime bag of the worst swag you could ever imagine. Now I walk into a store and it's regulated and there's packages that look like major brands, and you have a discussion with a bud tender. And so you can tell I'm excited about it. I'm very excited for New York, and I'm specifically excited for New York because New York draconian laws have ruined countless lives. And for the amount of people who are sitting in Rikers Island uncharged because they got caught with a dime bag, for those people and the families that they're part of, their entire existence moving forward will be a different reality. And that's the part that excites me the most.
I'm so excited to get your take on so many things over the next couple of months and years. And for me, you know, I've kind of been digesting the news and processing the news and expecting the news. But there was one part of it that I kind of forgot about, which is when the news hit today, they said that marijuana arrest convictions will be expunged.
Yes.
And I kind of forgot that applied to me. And I was pretty open. I was pretty open about my my arrest on an episode I did with Wes Moore, where we talked about the criminalization of cannabis and a moment I had where I was arrested with a few other friends in New York. And, you know, at that moment, you know, I thought that was the end of my life.
That's right? It.
And many folks did. And I was, you know, I talked about it at length in the show too. I was in a jail cell in the Tombs in New York with a lot of young Black kids who were told, "Hey, just take the plea and walk out." And
you take the plea.
And I was in there saying, "Guys, this is going to be on the records forever. You know, if they didn't get you, don't take the plea. Like, hang." But they're like, "Yeah, but it's Friday and I want to be out." And, And I was caught up in that. I was younger. And now I hadn't fully processed, frankly, how important that's going to be. I think for an entire generation or generations of people that were caught up in the criminal justice system. So one of the many things we're going to unpack on your show. Let's talk about for one second, Rick, if we can. You're a very talented musician.
Thanks, man.
You're doing all the music. You're both talented artists. That's going to be a fun part of the show to explore. Rick, talk about, you know, why you think music is important to this show and what you want to do with that in this show.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, music, I'm a musician. And it's always been a major part of my life and not always been my day job. So I have a couple of Slumdog Millionaire areas of expertise, but music, I joke that if I could have stopped making music, I would have done it a long time ago. It doesn't really fit into a lot of commerce things, and it's a substantial amount of my time, but it's who I am. So the theme song, I've written many, many, many songs. I've written some songs that have appeared in commercial environments. I've written countless songs that no one's ever heard. And this theme song is, I think, the best song I ever wrote so far. It's one of my favorites. It came out in 35 minutes. It took me another hour to produce. And I said, that's it. And so music will play a large role in both the creation of things like theme songs and outros. But also during pandemic, I've harnessed my frustration around being in a pandemic into music. And I've created an entire category of new songs under the moniker Aminal Songs. And they're all 1 minute or less looping animal songs that are not so secretly about the pandemic. And so I'll be releasing those soon, and we will share one or some on not every show, but often on our show, I'll be sharing a new song with my mom, getting her, you know, first reactions, and then also sharing with the audience at that time. So things like Aminal Songs and the theme song, and also if you say something that I think is funny, which happens often, I might go and sort of toil away and make a little stinger, jingle, bumper kind of thing that might appear in the show. So there will be that, and then musical show and tell. You can't see here, but this room is filled with my favorite instruments. And so there'll be some show and tell opportunities of things that you've seen and some things that you've never heard of and some things you might say, why would an adult man ever buy that?
Well, we're gonna have lots of amazing audio. We're also gonna shoot for video. As a tribute to you in this show, behind me, I'm at a friend's house this week for spring break, and as folks can see if you watch on video, behind me is an amazing picture of the Beatles in a swimming pool that Rick informed me he thinks was taken in California. Maybe it was the first visit the Beatles ever had to California.
I think this was 65. I think this was in California. I think it's before they played the Oakland show. And I think it might've been after they met Frank Zappa earlier that week.
See, we're bringing the information. And I also wore my Levon Helm Studios shirt because I am very happy, like I know you are, that live music venues are starting to open. The Levon Helm Studio in Woodstock is an amazing live music venue. And it's my way of trying to send some positive energy out there to so many of the creatives that have been working so hard and tirelessly and difficultly through this environment. But music's been a really key part of my show, of everything we do at Righteous. It's going to be a key part of your show. And let me ask you all a final question that I often ask of all our guests. We moved away from the angry, right? It's not enough to be angry. You have a right to be angry. There's lots to be angry about. If you're not angry, you're not paying attention. I still think that is true, but we want to convert that into positive impact. And your show is going to be a big part of that and expanding this Righteous Media family and network. I want to ask the both of you, what makes you happy? Sharon, maybe we'll start with you. Sharon, what makes you happy?
Painting makes me happy. I paint abstract pieces. Painting makes me very happy. Exercise makes me happy. Movement and walking, that literally makes me happy. On another level, Rick is cooking wonderful vegan dinners every night. I don't cook at all. That makes me very happy. speaking with people who I love, I have some people in my life, fortunately, who are what I refer to as they're good ones. And that just fills me up and has really helped over this last 4.5 years of challenges.
Thank you. Rick, what makes you happy, bud?
So cooking is a passion and something that I've always done a little bit, but in the last year or so, I've gone really intensely into, and I'm pretty sure I could open up a plant-based restaurant if that was something I'd be interested in. And so cooking is exciting because it's like the creative musical process, but you get to eat it afterwards. And also it's like the love language. Like I'm sharing this nourishment with the people I love around me. And so they're like legitimately surviving off of it. And when I'm cooking, I can't really do much else because there's a sharp knife in my hand and things are fire. So it's a nice focused thing. And then the other obvious answer is music. You know, when I'm in my studio and just creating something, and as long as the negative voices aren't too loud, there's moments where I'm like, this really does make me happy. And similar to your answer, connecting with people, you know, talking to a friend. And I'm also enjoying speaking with people in the last, you know, during this pandemic. I feel like the rules of friendship engagement are all in the air. So whether it's somebody, I joked a few months ago, you told me I shouldn't make this joke. I said, I've lost a lot of friends to the pandemic. I mean, they're alive. I just don't talk to them anymore. And so there's this thing where like you get to reevaluate who your people are and then also reaching out or being reached out to by somebody you haven't spoken in a while, the sort of like presupposition of why and when and it's all off the table. So I found myself feeling very centered and very happy just connecting with somebody regardless of, you know, how often we talk.
I think that's really, really powerful. And I feel the same way, Rick. I mean, when I deployed to Iraq, I lost a lot of friends, right? You kind of found out, it was a clarifying moment, like who's really down for you, who's not, who do you want around, who do you not? And I think on this show, we've explored the parallels between this pandemic and war. And if I extend that parallel to, you know, recognizing that we have an opportunity to kind of reset a bit, but also recognizing that after war, whether it ends on July 4th or everybody's vaccinated at the end of the year, whatever happens, there's going to be a period of celebration.
Yeah.
Where we kind of celebrate our VC day, our victory over the coronavirus day. And I think everyone will feel that joy, but then there'll also be a processing of the trauma.
Yes.
And a processing of the pain and those we've lost. And I'm really thankful that we will have your show to take us through that. Because I think that your show will be a really fun, heartwarming, strengthening guide for folks throughout this next few months and beyond. And I think, Sharon, you said the good ones. You are two of the good ones. I am very grateful for your friendship, for your partnership. And the new show is called Everybody and Their Mother Has a Podcast. Everyone should subscribe right now. There'll be a link wherever you got this show, Independent Americans. You can also find it on the Apple Podcast Store. Subscribe now. The first episode will drop April 7th. It's a Wednesday. If you're listening to this after that, you can listen to it right now. Shows will come every Wednesday. Final thoughts, guys, from Rick and Sharon, the mighty hosts of Everybody and Their Mother Has a Podcast. For all the folks who said, what would it be like to have a podcast with your mother? Or what would it be like to have a podcast with your child? You're about to find out. Any final thoughts, guys?
Just gratitude and excitement. You know, we have done this and it's quiet and for us, and you're allowing it to be more of a megaphone thing. And so your impression of what we have to offer is something we take very seriously in this. So there's a genuine excitement around this. And I should stop there, but I can't. I agree with what you just said. I think we're going to see almost like a Weimar Republic level of excitement, of dance, of drink, of it's going to be just like the Weimar Republic, only with more Nazis.
What? What is that? What does that mean?
It means we're going to enter the new roaring 20s. And last time, there were less Nazis.
I love that. Okay. So it's a good thing, right? Yeah. Yes.
The roaring 20s is good. The level of people who don't.
Yes.
Don't care,
I think that's right.
Like
we've been saying root for the boom, right?
There you go.
There could be a boom coming and maybe we'll be a part of it. And Sharon, you've seen a lot of things, you've done a lot of things, and I'm so excited to have you guiding us through this. I feel like, especially for folks that maybe are missing their mother or their parents, or maybe want to find new ways to connect with them, I think, you know, you're going to kind of become everybody's mother, and that's a great thing, because I don't know you as well as I hope I will in the future, but you're one of the best moms I've seen.
Aww.
And I'm really excited about that. So What would you like us to think about with a final thought here?
Thank you, Paul. That's really flattering. And knowing who you are, I really appreciate that. Thank you. The only thing I would add is Rick and I did one season previously, and it was only audio. It was not video. And now we have a YouTube station, so you can also watch us.
So dancing, cooking, music making, lots of amazing shirts.
Field trips, right?
And I just want to come back to it. You know, we're going to talk about, you all are going to talk about what's happening in the world, but you're also going to give folks, you know, a lot of the five I's, we say it: independence, information, inspiration, integrity, which I think is real, and impact. And it's coming at just the right time. We're going to build toward Mother's Day, which I expect you all to dominate. But Everybody and Their Mother Has a Podcast is the show. The great and powerful Rick Sorkin and Sharon Koppelman will be your hosts. Me and the team at Righteous Media are very proud to bring this to you on April 7th. Subscribe right now. Join the family. Spread the word. And I guess happy spring break, everybody.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Paul.
Thank you.
All right. And of course, stay frosty and stay vigilant.
Amen.
Two of the most vigilant people I've seen yet.
Thanks, dude.
Thank you both so much.
Aren't they great? And isn't that song great? And here's how every show is going to end.
Doesn't it seem like everybody and their mother has a podcast? Oh, oh, so I started a podcast with my mom. We wanted a theme song so you could sing along. The show it ends now.
I love that song. And I love Rick and Sharon. I hope you do too. The conversation with Rick and Sharon and me is over, but the one with you is just beginning. So remember to go to the Apple Podcast Store or click on the description wherever you found this pod and subscribe right now to Everybody and Their Mother Has a Podcast. It's, of course, free, and it's the newest production from the Righteous Media Enterprise. We got a lot more coming in 2021. Many more shows that we got cooking right now. We hope this is just the start of something huge, of a new independent media network. Hope is the oxygen of democracy, especially in this final stretch of the pandemic. And I hope my show and all our shows bring you that. And our democracy continues to need that oxygen more and more by the day. And finally, it's even more contagious than the virus. We can all be like Rick and Sharon and all our recent guests, from Jake Wood to Wes Moore, Bianca Goladriga, Darren Walker, Evan McMillan, and so many others, super spreaders of hope. And if you haven't heard all those recent shows, please go back and check them out. Celebrate spring break with some information and inspiration instead of going to a beach and a super spreader event in Florida. Spread the hope wherever you can, because hope is the air we need. We got to keep breathing, especially as we reflect on family, on spring break, on the holidays, and on the potential end of all of this. We're almost there. This is America's Final Four. We're in it. Don't quit now. Get ready for one big final push. So take a big deep breath to get us there. Come on, do it. And keep breathing so we can all stay frosty, stick together, and finish this pandemic strong. We can finish March Madness strong, like the Final Four, which has now been determined. Houston, Baylor, Gonzaga, and the surprise number 11 seed of the Final Four, UCLA. A team that reminds us that legacy matters, tradition matters, teamwork matters, family matters, in basketball and in America. So keep breathing that oxygen and that hope and encourage others to do the same. Especially like the first responders and volunteers who continue to help get out the vaccine. We can all be like Rick and Sharon. We can be a helper. We can spread light and hope and good information. Help people get to vaccination sites. Help people through the hard times. Help people deal with the loss. It's how we fight misinformation and conspiracy theories and extremists and enemies of our future. It's how we fight the virus and win. We can all be helpers, and we can win if we just hang in there and be helpers, just like Mr. Rogers told us about.
Always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
And there are many leaders spreading hope faster than the stupid. Leaders setting the example from all kinds of backgrounds. Leaders who continue to show that everyone can be a helper. And the full court press of public marketing is now underway. The White House, Dr. Fauci, the Ad Council, everybody's pushing to get the vaccine out. And they're getting creative. This week, I was listening to Rock the Bells, LL Cool J station on Sirius XM, and I found out that their special guest would be Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci was coming on to talk about the safety of the COVID-19 vaccine on LL Cool J's Rock the Bells radio. He was also joined by DJ Jazzy Jeff, who is also from Philadelphia, like Rick and Sharon. So DJ Jazzy Jeff, LL Cool J, Dr. Fauci, they're all teaming up. In recent episodes, we talked about Dolly Parton, the Dalai Lama, the former presidents from Bush to Obama, and even Sammy Hagar from Van Halen. High-profile people continue to get the shot and show what right looks like. And now, people of all backgrounds are finally uniting. And more by the day. Even the holdouts, including the guy who was like the president of stupid spring break, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
So I became eligible on Monday. I haven't had it yet, but I am planning on doing it this week. I'm not sure we're going to do it on camera. I mean, we'll see. I mean, if you guys want a gun show, maybe we could do it, but probably better off not.
I don't want to see his gun show. I definitely don't want to see that. But I do want to see him encouraging more people to get the vaccine, especially in places like Florida. And Americans are responding pretty favorably to Biden's approach. 73% of Americans now approve of his handling of the pandemic. And that includes about half of Republicans. So it's working. Concerts are coming. Venues near me are starting to open. And we set a new vaccine record just this week, with 3.4 million doses administered in one day. That's almost double the number of just a few weeks ago. We can't let up now. We have to have the courage to get the vaccine. Like Dolly Parton, like the Dalai Lama, like my mom, like four presidents, like Sammy Hagar, like even Governor Ron DeSantis. And finally, my wife. Yes, my wife finally got her first shot this week, and it felt even better than when I got it myself. And I get my second shot on Monday. So listen to me and Dolly and so many others. Don't be such a chicken squat. Get the shot and be a helper. And thanks to all the helpers that made this episode happen, especially Rick Sorkin and Sharon Koppelman. They are awesome. You can go right now to Apple Podcasts and find Everybody and Their Mother Has a Podcast, or you can go to the shortcut, everybodypod.us. You can subscribe there or at the Apple Podcast Store. We'll also have videos on YouTube every single week on the Righteous Media YouTube channel. And yes, I forgot to ask them the peeps question and the pancakes or waffle question, but I had the kids running around and it started raining. So a rain check on that one, guys. But independent Americans are the future, and Rick Sorkin and Sharon Koppelman are just another example, and they're true helpers. And thank you to so many more helpers, especially the Righteous Media team. Big thanks to Mighty Mercy Rich, who is moving on. I want to wish her all the best in everything she does next. And big thanks to creative Chris Rosenthal, brilliant Bill Schultz, and the entire team at Righteous Media. If you like this episode, please go to that same Apple Podcast store and give us 5 stars. It just takes a minute. And you can subscribe for free if you haven't already and share. Visit us on social media and check out independentamericans.us. There's links to all our social there and to our Patreon. And we've got new merch. It's hot, it's ready, it's out. There's still time to have it in your Easter basket. A very badass camping mug. We've got hats, and now we've got t-shirts. So check them out at independentamericans.us, and you can rock that gear when you head to your first ball game or your first concert or your first family reunion. Get stocked up at independentamericans.us. You can also see video of this conversation with Rick and Sharon. You can see the Beatles poster I have behind me. You can see their home, their new home studio. And you can see 100 episodes from leaders from Chuck Hagel to Meghan McCain to Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who will be leading the infrastructure push coming up from Biden. All of that is on the Righteous Media YouTube page and linked at independentamericans.us. America may be divided more than ever, but we're going to continue to add light and contrast the heat of other political shows. Every episode of Independent Americans is going to bring you the Righteous Media Five Eyes: independence, integrity, information, inspiration, and impact. And we're going to explore the most pressing issues of our day and empower others like Rick and Sharon and many more shows to come. We'll have a new show next week. Every Thursday, I will drop a new show. And if you're among the 40% of independents and growing who are independent, this is your pod. If you're a Republican or a Democrat, but you're not a diehard partisan, this is your pod. If you're a concerned American who gives a shit about the future of your country, this is your pod. All are welcome. We invite you to join us and be a part of the solution. And please consider joining our Independent Americans Patreon community. For just $5, you'll get access to our events, which will happen when we reopen, our guests like Rick and Sharon, merch discounts, exclusive content, and much more. Every week, I preview who our guest is so you can find out first. But these Patreon members keep this show going, so please contribute if you can and join us. And a special welcome to some of our newest members, especially Danny Ritter, who just became a patron. Thanks, Danny, for joining us. Welcome to the crew. Happy spring break. And thanks to everybody else who's already a part of the vigilant, the very vigilant, the most vigilant. You are the most dedicated and dynamic crew around, and I am incredibly thankful to all of you for all your help. And, of course, my thanks to my wife and my two boys. It's spring break, and we were very lucky to have a friend offer up her house, which was free. And we kept it down to earth, and we kept it cheap. We went to a free beach. We drove our car on a ferry, which the boys loved. We went to a state park. We saw turtles. We had Carvel. There's many ways to get a vacation on a budget with your family or without. Everybody and their mother has a podcast, and everybody and their mother needs a break, even during a pandemic. My great friend and mentor Les Gelb said, "Take vacation or you get stupid." And he's right. Everybody and their mother needs a vacation, even if it's just one day, even if it's just a couple hours. Because we need that final push, and we need everybody to beat this virus. We need everybody working together, everybody and their mother to beat this virus. We need everybody. Everybody, yeah, rock your body. everybody working together. Don't let up now. We are the help we need, everybody. So everybody, rock your body. Rock your body with the vaccine and spread the hope. Hope is the oxygen for our democracy, but also for life. And hope is right there. We can see it. Just don't blow it. Everybody. It'll be worth it. And maybe on July 4th, we can all declare our independence from the virus, or sooner we'll have our VC Day, our Independence Day. That will be our day, America's day, your day, if we get the vaccine. And Dr. Fauci broke it down. He answered the question, should I get vaccinated? And this answer applies to everybody.
You absolutely should get vaccinated. It's going to protect you, your family, your community, and the entire country.
Everybody needs to get it. Everybody needs to chip in. It's the key to our Independence Day, and it'll require a total team effort and not letting up. It'll require everybody and their mother. America's on the comeback, but we got to keep the progress going, and we can't let up. And we'll keep this movement growing week by week by week. And we will stay vigilant, because eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. And with hope in our hearts, it's the path to better days. Pass the hope, people, and know you're not alone in your vigilance. We're all vigilant. And we're all in this together. From Rick Sorkin to Sharon Koppelman, to LL Cool J, to Dr. Fauci, to DJ Jazzy Jeff, to Michael Strahan, to Governor Rick DeSantis, to the Backstreet Boys, to you, everybody. I'm your host, Paul Rykoff. Thanks for listening. Stay frosty and stay vigilant, America. That means everybody.